This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win their next game, and if they do, you will claim $100 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only. Wager paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
Thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime! I still think I got a little situation. So listen to me, sister, listen, maybe you can help. I think I give a lot of fathers my consideration. But not for me, and I was send them for someone else. While other people always seem to just be on vacation. What they want to get from me, I don't get anything at all. I'm like a trash can holding all the information. And every single time I need me feeling to be tall.
Welcome into Overtime, Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, live from the Fan Run Radio Studios. Overtime here, live from the Fan Run Radio Studios. Like I said, Will Stevens, Tucker Holt in here with you guys, going up until 8 p.m. like always. Little programming alert before we get too far into the show. There will be no OT tomorrow as the Vols take on the fake UT, the Longhorns. I'm sorry. I'm trying to get through this, but you were just—it's like you're playing with a—it's like you're a cat playing with yarn. Like
I've given up.
It's very funny. I can mess with them if you need me to. In a second.
Yeah, my headphone cable is becoming a problem, mm-hmm. A continued problem. So I don't know. We'll get this sorted out eventually.
No aux cord has been bought, but a programming alert nonetheless because Tennessee is taking on the fake UT tomorrow at 2 o'clock. There will be no overtime because the drive will be getting started right after the game. A little voluntary reaction slash the drive kind of hybrid show going on there. So no overtime tomorrow. I know you'll miss my fantastic voice and Tucker's fantastic voice as well. But we'll be back on Wednesday. And we still have 2 hours to go here. So no big deal there on that front. Just little programming alert. Didn't want it to be too much of a secret as Tucker has just thrown his hands in the air and said, screw it.
Yeah, the headphones are off. I'll have to figure something out eventually.
Fair enough. We do have a couple of half-broken pairs in here that you can use if necessary. But nonetheless, there's the programming alert. You can't say I didn't warn y'all about that aspect of it. But before we get into anything, obviously, I want to ask my question, my usual question of how was the weekend? How are we doing today, fellas, or stuff like that. But like, I think we kind of know how the main sports chunk of the weekend was in terms of what went down on Sunday, having to play tomorrow in the double elimination loser's bracket. Or is it technically loser's bracket or just the pool play? You got to win regardless of the
terminology. Oh, yeah, I would call it the loser's bracket.
Technically loser's bracket.
Yeah, I would call it the loser's bracket.
I got yelled when I said points instead of runs a long time ago, so I'm very hesitant.
I would call it a loser's bracket,
with my
for sure.
Baseball terminology. Yeah. But obviously that was a very hard loss. There was some breaking news from earlier today that we need to get to. And then we'll get to the NBA as well. Some hockey news, perchance, as well as there was a fantastic play. A great sports night on Saturday.
Wild.
Was feeling good going into Sunday. Obviously, didn't translate. But before we get to any of the sports news, how was the weekend?
It was pretty good.
Minus the sports.
Yeah, completely separating myself from sports, which I was able to do yesterday pretty easily. Mm-hmm. I went over. Hadn't seen my dad in a couple weeks. So got out there, had a great day, grilled some steaks that I tweeted out.
I did.
The people loved it.
Those did look good.
I told my dad that the people were saying that he had a couple, you know, a nice pair of steaks.
Good couple slabs of meat.
He was pretty...
Your dad's got a good slab of meat going
on. You know, he was thankful. You know, he was grateful for that. I think that made him really happy. And I'll tell you what made me really happy was eating those steaks.
Were they tasty?
Man's a master. Just a master on the grill. Anything you want, doesn't matter. I mean, it just so happened to be some ribeyes yesterday from a butcher, you know, hometown butcher. Know the guy. Know the guy who makes your meat or sells you your meat. It's a valuable thing to have.
Really?
So anyways, yeah, we enjoyed those beautiful steaks. Had a great meal.
It's good.
And then just lounged about all day pretty much.
Fair enough. I'm glad to hear that.
We watched a certain baseball game that we can talk about later.
Here in a second. But I'm glad.
The steaks got grilled before the game was over, just to make that clear.
You and Rick Butler, I talked to him about it. He had a humble opportunity to tweet a shirtless picture because he was using it as an excuse to grill. I don't think Rick grilled last night. I think he just wanted an excuse to post a shirtless picture.
You think he just took the picture with the grill?
Yeah, he just wanted to get a selfie with the grill.
It was a good-looking grill.
He had, like, the hose in the background perfectly. The garden.
H-O-S-E?
Yes. The thing that squirts out. Actually,
what you would water your garden
yes,
with.
There we go. Sorry,
boom,
it took
easy.
Me a couple seconds. Every time I tried to like actually find a way to explain it, just kept talking about girls. But
yep.
he had the hose in the background, kind of trying to show off that dad aspect.
I
think Rick is turning into a father.
He needs to fully lean into being a dad.
He was enjoying his Father's Day.
I could see Rick cracking some dad jokes, wearing some Air Monarchs.
Yeah, for sure.
Grilling. Oh, he needs to go only mustache, I think, would be the ultimate move. To go into that direction,
he needs to go start going by Fred.
Fred? Is that one of his names?
Frederick. Rick is short for Frederick, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh.
I believe so. That's why he has one. That's why he has no K.
Huh. Okay. I didn't know that. Pretty cool. If he starts going by Fred, he's the ultimate dad.
That's what I'm saying. Like get him a fanny pack. Not have him mow the lawn here, but just tell me how to mow the lawn here. Like, he's never going to touch the mower.
He stands out there and watches you do it.
Hands on the hips or arms crossed, just pointing out the spots that
I. He's got denim shorts on.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, denim shorts. Yeah, that's a must once you're a dad.
I like how we're saying, like, Rick just needs to, like, lean into being a dad, but there's only one step.
He needs to lean into being a dad from, like, 1994, too, for some reason. For some reason, that's still a dad.
If we're just talking, like, leaning into being a dad, there's only one step. Actually, there's a much more complicated with a lot of steps process called adoption.
You could actually,
but there's one main step.
But you could be a dad without being a father. You know,
good point. And you can be a father without being a dad.
It's who you are. Dads don't just become a dad whenever a baby is born.
Speaking of steps,
there's a little bit of a dad inside you.
Speaking of steps, he could just marry into it.
He could.
Doesn't even have to do this sex part.
No, I mean. But I think everyone should embrace being a dad a little bit, you know?
Speaking of Father's Day, I had a good one as well.
Yeah, it's good.
Solid. Got to see my kids.
Yeah, really? That's rare. You don't get to see those little kiddos that much.
No, never.
I wonder why that is.
Not often. No, I got to hang out with my dad. Go out to Anderson County. We grilled some steaks as well. Had some good mac and cheese.
Oh, yeah.
Whole nine yards.
Okay.
Homemade cooking.
Pretty solid.
It was pretty solid.
Father's Day is a win, really, for everybody.
Yeah.
Because dad's like just good food, so you eat good.
Yes.
Like, it's really, I mean, no one's, I mean, at least in my experience, no dad has ever been, like, super picky, you know?
I'm going to be.
They're like the staples.
If I become a dad, I'm going to be, like, the one picky dad, but I feel like
everybody's getting chicken tenders on Father's Day.
Chicken tenders, ranch.
Just a platter. All right. Yeah, it's your day, man. You do it.
No dark meat, though. But
Hawaiian punch.
But I feel like that's because, like, picky people usually have picky tendencies everywhere. It's not just food. And so then they normally don't settle down with a female. They don't want kids because they're so picky that you would rather adopt because you can literally pick your kid. You can get picky with it. You know what
I
mean?
You walk in, then there's a nine-year-old that's like 6'2" already, and you're like, I'll take that one right there. Take that one. Real quick, though, can I see his 40 in the backyard? And they're like, yeah, get out there.
All right, Sandra Bullock, just come on in.
I mean, it's not, you know, the morals are wrong, I would say. But I think everybody wins in that deal.
Yes, yeah. I think so, too. But speaking of the game, speaking of some fatherly advice, I pulled up a quote from June 16th a little bit ago, but this was a tweet that was circulating, went semi-viral during the 76ers' first real bad loss, the 31-pointer Actually, that was the second one, but the real bad loss I'm talking to. Obviously, lost last night. We'll get to the NBA. Congrats, John Reed. Congrats, Cam Black. I mean, there's no better people. I mean, I'm sad. We'll talk about my game, but no better people at the station that could have happened to. With the
especially
exception
for Cam.
Of John. Yeah,
like,
I was going to say, with the exception
Cam's
of John,
Cam is all the way in on Atlanta. He's a Falcons fan.
If anybody else was a Hawks fan with John Reed, I think the Hawks would be like extremely disliked from a fan-run fan base.
Oh, for sure.
Perspective, but because Cam Black is there, it really carries some of the weight of just like
we want
Cam to be happy.
Yeah, I mean he's just been through a murderous row of just bad sports things lately. I mean, Julio just left. He deserves this.
He does indeed. But Les Bowen tweeted in, not to the show, just into the Twitter world in general. In my dad's later years, he stopped watching games of teams he really cared about. Said it wasn't worth it. Getting so upset. I think about that a lot as I get older. There's a point where you understand that win or lose, your life isn't going to change. That's some deep thoughts from Les Bowen on a Father's Day right there.
Very deep.
I think it makes sense, though, especially with the game happening on Father's Day. I read this tweet a couple of times. I had bookmarked it a long time ago because I thought it was a funny tweet. And then Sunday rolls along. You have Father's Day, and all of this happens. And I read this Les Bowen tweet talking about his dad's later years and how he just stopped caring about sports. Makes sense at some points, but some people can't let go. That's us. We cannot let go, but we do have to let go, take a quick break, but we will talk Omaha when we get back. Obviously, got to get into what happened in the game, but also talk about Texas and their game on Sunday night as well. A very, very it was an entertaining baseball game for being a 2-1 ball game. 21 strikeouts in that game from Mississippi State's side. Very impressive. We'll get into all of that and much, much more. Don't go anywhere. Overtime returns right after this break. Overtime, Fan and Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Will Stevens, Tucker Holt in here with you guys going up until 8 p.m. Like always, hour one rolling right along here, 6:22 p.m. We pushed it off for 22 minutes. We chatted about Father's Day. We cracked a couple jokes about Father's Day. I made fun of you for your headphone cord. We did all of that jazz, but it's time to get into it. The real Father's Day game. The Daddy Caps were not broken out as the Vols lose 6-0, 13 hits for the Cavs, the Who's, the whatever you call them, the Virginia Cavaliers, who I would like to add had bad news today as one of their best basketball players has entered the draft, will not be coming back. So eat that, Cavaliers.
That's what they get. Yeah, that's what they deserve.
Karma. Yeah. Not like we didn't have anything bad happen to us today in terms of recruits or people we would want to see play.
Bad few days.
Have you ever seen the meme? And it's like a Florida weather be like, and it's like 3:45 p.m., just the peaceful beach, and then 3:50 p.m., just a hurricane rolling through. That's what Tennessee sports are. Like,
Pretty much.
Literally Saturday. I think Tennessee sports fans are feeling the best they've ever felt in the world. And now you fast forward to 6:23 on a Monday evening, and it's a hurricane. Yeah. It is a hurricane of great measure. I mean, it's just bad. You had a bunch of guys who were just seeing the ball well. You had one of the Giloff brothers, I believe is how you pronounce it, Giloff or however you pronounce it, 4 at-bats, 3 hits, 1 run, 1 RBI, and 1 walk. Just, I mean, everyone was seeing the ball well. They had 13 hits overall and 36 at-bats.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of hit Chad Dallas around a little bit.
And that was a thing that I feel like, I don't know how many people mentioned it, but I know I've heard it mentioned a couple of times where, like, Chad Dallas, the reason he has so many wins is he gets strikeouts. He's a good strikeout pitcher, but he throws so many strikes, he's going to give up runs. Like, he doesn't have the greatest ERA, but usually in games, Tennessee gives him fantastic run support. That was just not the case.
Got none. The bats were asleep for most of the game. I mean, we would get guys on, but, I mean, we never got a single hit with runners in scoring position. We were 0 for 8.
I believe it ended 0 for 8.
0 for 8 with runners in scoring position. I think 0 for 4 with runners on third. It was just those kind of things.
I believe it was
where,
0 for 4 runners on third with no outs.
With no outs, too. I mean, or at least less than two. That doesn't win you ball games. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was tough because we were getting the bat to the ball in crucial moments. I mean, you had that moment where we had a runner on second and third. I believe there was no outs, or maybe might have been one out, and hit that liner to second, to where if that gets over his head, if that's, I mean, a foot and a half to the right or just a foot higher, you got at least, you're guaranteed at least one run, you know, possibly two, you take the lead
and
right there.
That's a completely different ballgame.
And
that
changed.
That was in the fifth.
Yeah, that was kind of that moment. Me and my dad were watching the game. It was kind of one of those moments where we looked at each other and was like, oh, is that the ball game right there? Like, that seemed like a moment where we would have broke through and, you know, maybe you ride that wave. And that second baseman just made one hell of a catch. Like, yeah. It's really all you can say at that moment. It's tough. He made a play.
The strike zone was pretty drunk from what I
was
seeing on the Twitter, but that was for
wild.
Both teams. Like, both teams got some real, like, Chad Dallas got two strikeouts on what were in, I mean, I'm not a baseball guy. That was a ball. You could tell it was a ball by just looking at it, but he got called a strike, and you take those, you got to roll with those punches, but, I mean, giving up six runs is not bad.
It's
just the leaving eight on. Like, they left six on. Like, they didn't really play fantastic baseball. We just played worse.
They were just getting those dink and dunk hits. Like, they didn't, you know, I mean, that first homer was pretty nice, especially for a guy whose dad was in the crowd
first
on Father's Day.
Since February of 2020.
Yeah, that was not a great sign.
I mean, and a shout out to that dude's dad. That was a really cool story, but it's just Tennessee luck
to
be stuck in those types of stories.
Those stories are all around us.
There was a lot of talk on the Twitter world, and I want to get your opinion on this because I thought it was an interesting thought process and an interesting topic in general of the typical Tennessee.
Okay.
There was a lot of just typical Tennessee tweets, a lot of people saying,
this
is just typical Tennessee. Like, this is what happens. We get into the postseason and we struggle. This is what happens when you're Tennessee. You get all the way to the top and you struggle. And there's a lot of people who are like, listen, if this was typical Tennessee,
I think it's a little unfair.
We wouldn't be here right
exactly.
now. Exactly. And I tend to agree with some of that take.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I do think getting overworked by someone saying, like, typical Tennessee or something like that. Like, that's just battered ball syndrome. Like, we've been here before. We've seen it all before, especially with the rumors that are coming out today with the Tony V LSU thing that is getting kind of murky. I mean, it is creating some more typical Tennessee takes.
Yeah. I kind of understand it. I do. But to say typical Tennessee, like, I mean, you know, what were you going to say that regardless how the season ended, unless it ended in a national championship? I mean, that's really setting your expectations a little sky high, especially for a team that wasn't expected to be here. And, you know, typical Tennessee isn't hitting a grand slam against Wright State to win the game in the postseason.
That was fair.
The postseason.
But typical Tennessee.
Run ruling two teams after a loss in the SEC tournament. This team has answered the bell multiple times this whole year, and it hasn't really been traditional Tennessee, typical Tennessee.
But it has been typical Tennessee in this game in terms of, faltering under the lights. Like, you definitely – like, this was just a very unimpressive performance.
Right.
There was some decent hits. You got guys on base, but it really felt like that Limsimum game that you lost, or a couple of those games earlier in the season where you just lost. And that's baseball. Like, I'm not trying to sit here and be like, you have to go perfect. Like no one's complaining when the Reds don't win a series if they still get two wins out of it. Like, you still get two wins on the 162. Like it's baseball. It's going to be a long time, or a long season, and a long time to play. But when you get down to it, and I know Virginia's hot. I know they started winning games late. But losing to, like, a 500 club in ACC play, losing to a team that had to really battle against Old Dominion and really battle against Dallas Baptist, they're 36-25 overall. Like, you kind of just get screwed because Andrew Abbott was just working that day. Like,
sometimes it's just their day.
Pitches, for sure.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it does have that feeling of, like, an Oregon State loss. Not a Loyola Chicago because that was a little bit more Cinderella, but just, like, we got beat by a team it didn't feel like we should get beat by.
If you're looking at, like, the stat sheet, or, you know, wins and losses and, like, how they're ranked and stuff like that and how they've done overall
in
the season.
And numbers lie. I know numbers lie.
Yeah, just looking at the way they played yesterday, they looked pretty good.
Their
pitching was pretty solid. Their fielding was fantastic.
100%.
It was just...
And their offense was pretty solid. Like,
pretty nice. They
impressed.
Saw the ball really well against a pitcher who was really, really good in Chad Dallas.
And there were some managerial decisions that were questionable, but I'm not a big enough baseball brain to really understand them, so I wanted to pick yours. Pavlovi, sack bunt. Did you like that call? Did you want him to swing the bat? He is the 9-hole hitter, but he's arguably the hottest hitter on the team right now. What was your feeling when you saw that sack bunt? Because my feeling as a non-baseball guy, I didn't really care about the play.
That was right before the liner to second, was it not?
I believe so.
Yes.
I believe so. But when that happens and you lay down a sack bunt, I know this isn't really baseball, But like it to me, it feels like you're trying to do anything and everything and pulling out the stops instead of just letting your guys play.
Yeah.
And at that point is when it felt like the game was starting to be over, if that makes sense to anybody.
I wouldn't really call that like waving the white flag.
Definitely
or like being
not,
desperate
but,
or anything like
but
that.
But it was one of the, it's like body language. Like it was one of those first signs that you see, okay, maybe this is starting to trend in the wrong direction.
I think you just start to look at it in, you know, terms of probability. Baseball is all about probability and, you know, stuff like that. And chance isn't the right word to use, but I mean, you have a higher probability of scoring if you have a guy on third. And if you have no outs, you have that one to play with. I think the sack bunt's like the safe play there. And especially, I mean, he looks like a genius if the next guy comes up.
For sure.
Hits one to the wall, you know, like a just a deep fly out sack.
One of those
you tie the game.
Damned if you do, damned if you don't type of decisions.
Right.
That
yeah. That people
in
would be
sports.
Asking why we didn't bunt, you know, if something else had happened, you know, if he goes up there and strikes
or
out.
If he grounds into a double play,
exactly.
That's the inning. Like,
sure.
I understand that aspect.
Yeah, you get
of it.
Rid of that double play, you know, by moving the guy from first to second, second to third.
But it just still. I don't know. I didn't know how to feel about
it. It's a lot easier to look back in hindsight, especially with baseball, to be like, well, that didn't work.
Yes,
you
for
know?
Sure, for sure.
And I mean, I trust in Tony V. I you know, there is a chance he steps up there and hits a home run. There is. But you just kind of try to make the game as easy as possible. You know, and if that next guy, all he has to do is just get one out in the air deeper and you can score a run, I think it's a little, you know, you're asking less of that next guy. And it's hard to put down a bunt.
I mean, for sure.
To be able to get advance those guys on a nice bunt, it's pretty impressive.
That's why I would have liked him to swing the bat. Because as smart as it is and as safe as it is, it is almost just as hard to read a pitch, look it in, and make sure you get it down properly.
The thing is, though, if he doesn't get that down by the time there's two strikes, he's got to swing away.
Yes, for sure. I always hate that rule when I'm playing video games because I forget it exists and then I get out.
And then you foul out.
Yeah. Every time. Every single time. Because I'll swing, power swing twice and be like, okay, I'm just going to bunt now. Doesn't work like that. But Tennessee looking to bounce back tomorrow, 2 o'clock. I already did the programming alert. No overtime tomorrow because Tennessee plays at 2 o'clock. It'll be a weird timed game, but Tennessee, 2 o'clock, first pitch tomorrow.
I think we'll see him come out awake.
I hope so.
I mean, we saw it in the SEC tournament, you know, kind of how we mentioned earlier. We came out and we run-rolled Mississippi State, which is a really, really good ball team.
We saw that as evident of what they did to Texas with 21 strikeouts, and we run-rolled that team. Now, obviously, different pitchers, stuff like that. But
different days, different pitchers. Baseball's weird. But, I mean, you've shown that, you know, you can absolutely come out and flounder on one day, bats completely asleep like they were yesterday, and come out a completely, you know, who you are traditionally, who you are normally, who you've been all year. So I'm still confident in this team to come out tomorrow at 2 o'clock and be the team that we've watched all year and, you know, be in this game at all nine innings.
For sure. I think the only issue I have is that I think Texas fans are thinking the exact same thing.
We're better than Texas, though.
I think so, but, like, apparently they have two good pitchers, and that dude was looking on fire yesterday. I'm not excited to see what their other guy looks like tomorrow.
Anybody can get, you know, hit around on any day.
For sure.
That's
for
the way,
sure.
I mean
that was evident of what Chad Dallas did.
Everybody was talking about Leader back when we played Vandy that second day on that Sunday. And we ran him off. We destroyed him.
We did lose two out of those three games.
We did, no. But on that one day, he's a really good pitcher. We hit him around. We don't have to beat him twice. We got to beat him once.
It's true. This is true. Looking forward to that game. Break down a little bit of the Mississippi State Texas game. Get into Tennessee versus Texas for tomorrow. Talk a little bit more baseball. Maybe transition into some more Tennessee stuff as there was some disappointing breaking news.
Yeah.
We'll get into that and a lot more. Don't go anywhere. Overtime keeps rolling along after this. I can't speak, man. I can't speak. Time rolling right along live from Phantom Radio Studios, or should I say Funk Run Studios, as Tucker playing some good bumpers. That was probably one of my worst ones of all time. I hated that one with every ounce of my body, but I said it anyways.
Funk Run Radio?
Yeah.
It wasn't bad. It didn't immediately make me go, okay.
Yeah, there we go. It wasn't.
It was
all
right. It made me smile.
Maybe a little exhale out of the nose, but nothing more, nothing less.
Yeah, you know, it's like if you read a funny tweet, but not like a really funny tweet.
I don't know if I've ever laughed out loud at just a tweet.
I have many times.
I've definitely laughed out loud at like seeing a funny tweet mixed with a very funny video, or just a funny video or a funny picture.
Yeah.
But in terms of just straight words, I don't.
But it's not my normal laugh, and I don't do it on purpose.
It's your Twitter laugh.
If there's other people,
you have a Twitter laugh.
Well, it's just like it's like I'm trying to. I don't go ha 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 ha, you know, but it's like a. You know, one
just
of those.
I just imagine you like sitting on your couch, and your dad and your mom are like sitting next to you across the room, and you laugh, and your mom's like, "What's so funny?" And then your dad's like, "No, that's just his Twitter laugh. Like, we won't understand this one. Just keep doing what you're doing."
I wish they understood that. Do you know how many times I've laughed at something, and mom really has been like, "What? What you looking at?" And I'll be like, "It's this. It's a picture of this frog, and he's got on a hat," and she's like. I'm okay, honey.
It's just a very deep fried frog.
It's a meme that's like 19 layers deep.
Deep fried as in the meme.
The meme
content.
Is deep fried. Yeah, everybody knows that. There's the John. You just lost to John Fulkerson. That meme is deep fried.
Oh yes.
Very deep fried.
Pember time.
Yeah,
fried.
Exactly.
Tanner Carson, A, king of the deep fried memes. B,
he makes me laugh out loud on Twitter a lot.
I will say that fantastic. Running of the Twitter this past weekend.
Funny.
Shout out to the Twitter people who run everything there. Shout out to the website and everything. We've kind of gotten sidetracked away from the story I wanted to talk about.
What were we talking about?
You know what we were talking about. We were going to bring up, before we get into the Knoxville arrest story, the Tennessee football player arrest story, we want to get into some NFL arrest stories.
I mean, I'm not.
One breaking news story.
It's not even breaking. It's just breaking to me. And shout out to, was that Matthew? I believe it was Matthew who told me. Let me just verify really quick. I was working on a reply tweet, but I haven't sent it yet. Yeah, it was Matthew. Shout out Matthew.
You got tweeted at this?
Yeah, he tweeted this to me and said, bad sports weekend for me. And he's correct. I didn't think I was having too bad, you know?
Yes.
But now it's definitely worse. An hour ago, TMZ reports, so you know it's true. They're actually never wrong. It's weird. Kansas City Chiefs Frank Clark arrested. He had an Uzi in his Lambo SUV.
Just one singular Uzi?
I mean, I don't know how he got pulled over. It was just a routine traffic stop, and they noticed an open duffel bag in his car, and they saw the gun, and they arrested him.
What the traffic stop was for?
I don't know, but he's...
Because I don't imagine many people in Lambos are being pulled over if they're not speeding, if that makes sense. Like, I feel like...
He might have ran a stop sign,
perhaps,
red light.
Perhaps, one of those
you know?
Very, very minuscule things, but What's the age-old rule, Tucker?
Don't break two laws at once.
One law at a time.
Exactly. And, you know, they got him for felony illegal possession of a firearm. He's listed at 6'3", 255. You know, weight's pretty good. You know, he's trim. That's something good. Hopefully he can...
Weird move by 6'3", 225. Did you say 6'3", 225?
255.
255. Weird move to be carrying the smallest machine gun version.
Yeah, that would look pretty funny in his arms. I would like to see him shoot
it. That's like Andre the Giant holding a can of beer, like Frank Clark holding an Uzi, making it look like just a water gun.
I would very much like to see him holding this Uzi. Do you think the cops took a picture of him holding the Uzi?
Probably not.
That'd be neat.
It would be very funny if the cops asked for like a selfie with them after arresting him.
He pled guilty to a lesser charge of misdemeanor disorderly conduct. So, looks like we'll have him this fall, maybe.
Wow.
Love to see it.
The way you
Love
play
to see
the
it.
Game.
Love the way the justice system works.
Yes. If you got money, you're good. Arizona Cardinals RB Zaven, LB, not RB, linebacker.
RB. Is that the fast food chain?
That's RB's.
Oh.
But yes, close enough.
Gotcha.
No, running back is what I meant when saying RB. RB. I had my screen scrolled down, so all I could see
well,
was...
Well, Arby's, the fast food place, is named that because the letters RB.
Are you sure?
Yeah, well, they sell.
Roast beef, you're right.
It's Arby's. It's Arby's.
Wow.
It's roast beefs.
So, like, McDonald's is McDonald's because, like, every menu on their... or every item on their menu is Irish.
Yes.
Like the McChicken, Big Mac... Fish filet, or no, is it fish filet or whatever?
Fish of filet? Maybe, yeah, gotta be.
Filet-O-Fish.
There we go.
That's it.
They had the fish singing on the wall.
Yeah,
I used to love it. My
mom
would.
You got the MCs in front of everything and the O's mixed in.
Yeah, I actually think you're right. McDonald's is an Irish fast food place. Yeah, that's good. They need to start selling like Guinness.
So we got like Chick-fil-A, the Baptist restaurant.
Yeah, and then represented.
And then we have McDonald's.
It's like a superhero team, like the Justice League.
We have McDonald's, the Irish Catholic restaurant. Yeah,
I think McDonald's is your Superman. Gotta be, kind of, right?
I guess.
You know?
I guess. Like the Pope in terms of like the world leaders. Cause
I mean,
Irish
Kentucky
Catholic.
Has KFC.
Yeah.
What? Or the Colonel? Is he just a superhero himself?
I guess. I didn't know where you were going with that.
Right. We're just doing cultures, I guess. I don't know, man.
But Arizona Cardinals linebacker.
Yeah, the Cardinals.
Zaven Collins, famous for saying, we're going to beat everyone's butt or something along those lines when he got the call from Cliff Kingsbury and the GM. I cannot remember.
Oh, yeah,
the
great draft call.
Yeah, I mean, probably the best one of all.
It was pretty good.
I believe he's from Tulsa, if I'm not mistaken. It doesn't say in here. Yes. 16th overall out of Tulsa. I mean, a solid pick. He was arrested. Sunday morning for excessive speed and reckless driving.
That's not too bad.
He was later released. 22. Collins.
Does it say how fast he was going?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Was pulled over in his. It's not. It's really.
Not too bad?
I kind of laughed when I read the article because it was a headline on
ESPN. I mean, yeah, especially with like the NFL guys. They got these super fast cars usually, and you know.
He's no different. He was in his Mercedes.
Okay.
By the Scottsdale Police Department around 10:04 a.m. just north of Old Town Scottsdale. He was observed driving 76 in a 35.
Oh, my God. What do you mean not that bad? That's crazy. He's flying down a surface street. 35?
Yeah.
He's over double.
I guess in my mind, maybe it's different in Arizona, but in my mind, like I don't drive fast. I don't like driving in general. So this
say,
is not me
imagine doing
speeding. But
like this road right here that we come into the station is 25. Imagine doing 65 miles an hour down this street.
I mean, many people do that. We get told to slow
65,
down.
65, not even near. Like, okay, yeah, I understand why he was arrested for a little bit. That's insane.
Like, in my mind, like Kingston Pike is 45.
Okay.
So, like, and I understand. Yeah. That's a lot of miles per hour over. Like that's
yeah. If you're running over 70 on Kingston Pike,
like,
you're an animal.
Like the
35 that's insane.
The 35 per hour streets around here are like back roads, and so like in my brain, when I hear 35 miles per hour, I think of like zero traffic. You're just chilling, going as fast as you want. Like I've had friends drive as fast as they want.
I guess
back roads.
Sure.
But you know what I mean. Like back roads, there are less rules.
But I don't think he's out in the middle of nowhere in Arizona.
No,
he's got to be playing for the Cardinals.
He drove past the police department.
Don't
think the police department's on a back road.
No, he's not driving up, you know, the hillside, just having a nice Sunday cruise. There's women and children and citizens everywhere.
I was expecting, like, when it said reckless and excessive speed, I was expecting, like, 165 and was just flying down the highway or something like that. Like,
right.
I was not
expecting. Still just as bad.
Yeah, no, I'm not sticking
it's
up for
relative.
The dude. I don't like driving, and these guys are the reason I don't like driving because
they're terrible
drivers. That's fair.
You should be his biggest
there.
Enemy.
I,
if anybody should hate this guy.
Yeah. Hey, Zaven.
He's making you feel unsafe in your world.
Exactly. Zaven.
It's not right.
Man, disrespectful. But finally, the last NFL article I wanted to get to real quick. I wanted to congratulate someone, a brave soul. At the beginning of the month, I kept saying Happy Pride Month to everyone, just kind of flushing it down everyone's throat. But Raiders defensive lineman deserves some just acceptance and praise. Carl Nassib became the first active NFL player to announce he is gay. Today it came out, Adam Schefter tweets out, he said, "What's up, people?" Nassib posted on IG, "I just wanted to take a quick moment to say that I'm gay. I've been meaning to do this for a while now, but I finally feel comfortable getting it off my chest."
Hmm.
So, maybe
good for him.
Maybe not as many problems in that Raiders locker room as we thought, if guys are getting comfortable enough to express their full emotions and express their first personalities.
Yeah, I mean, that's a sign of a team.
I guess when he saw, like, when you see your quarterback wearing eyeliner, you can really do whatever you want on the Raiders locker.
That one's pretty good. But that's cool. That's cool. Good for him. You know, for the NFL to kind of be in a place, or at least, I mean, the Raiders organization, the team right now to be in a place to where something like this, you know, would happen. That's pretty, you know, it's a good place for a sport, for an organization.
Yeah,
for him too. It's good that he can be comfortable.
Just wanted a quick shout out. I also, I'm interested to see how he plays because I mean, it's just going to be interesting. I don't know much about the guy other than he's gay and he plays for the Raiders. So I'm very interested to see if he's going to be a player that takes over or takes notice, or if this is just another guy who just happens to like other guys.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I will be intrigued. It's an interesting story.
It is.
A good storyline to keep up with. Speaking of keeping up, don't go anywhere. Overtime will be right back. time. And hour one. Last segment right here, live from the Fandern Radio Studios. Hope everyone's staying safe out there. I think the storm might have passed, but it was raining when you were coming in. You said you had to drive through a tropical storm.
Yeah, it was pretty rough out there, like the big fat rain, mm-hmm. as Forrest Gump called it.
The big fat rain.
Yeah, it was rough. I got soaked running like 5 steps from the gas station door to my car.
Yeah, I'm glad that Forrest Gump never had to, like, because, like, Forrest Gump kind of tells the story of, like, being an athlete and then the post-athlete life really well of, like, he was an athlete, top guy at football and ping pong, and then still went and fought wars and stuff like that. And it was a really interesting story, a beautiful,
right.
True story, I believe.
True, 100%,
real
yes.
Beautiful story. It's a shame he never had to, like, do, like, a TNT job or anything like that, because he would not be able to call it Big Fat Rain anymore.
No, you couldn't
call it that.
Say that.
Charles Barkley joke.
Yes, very funny
for everyone out there. Who
topical.
That went over there. Yeah,
look very at me good. I mean, topical. Wow.
Just,
I mean, you or South Park? I mean, I really can't tell the difference.
So
you're
funny.
So with it.
I'm so
with
funny,
the comedy.
Dude.
It's pretty good,
dude. I just bookmarking tweets that I knew I needed to get jokes off because we won't have a show tomorrow.
Right.
I'm just gonna like. I think we're gonna have tomorrow or Wednesday. We're just gonna have like one segment that's just Tuesday show. Where I can just get all of my jokes out that were meant for Tuesday.
Sure.
Because, like, it's like Saturday Night Live. The reason Saturday Night Live sucks now is because everything is tweeted out before they can get to it on Saturday. So, like, the pre-recorded
pretty
sketches
much,
are
yeah.
good. But, like, the Mike Pence fly thing didn't hit because everyone already made the jokes and videos and stuff like that beforehand.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. I can't do all my Tuesday jokes on Wednesday. They won't fly. But if we just pose it as a Tuesday segment, I think we'll be good.
Yeah, like that one day we tried to time travel and you screwed it up.
Yes.
We can attempt that one more time.
Yeah, like right now.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we'll just put this out on, like, what, June 21st-ish?
Around there.
Like, that Monday?
I would say.
If we're not going to have a show on that Tuesday, we might as well
just
not do one on Monday, too, and then come in on Wednesday.
Yeah. I guess that's fair. That's probably what we should do. Yeah, we'll just post this on Monday, and then it'll be fine.
No. QB, Caden Salter, and I believe defensive line prospect Amari McNeil. Face misdemeanor charge after marijuana found during a police stop.
Very tough.
Pair were riding in a vehicle early Saturday when police stopped them on Cumberland Avenue Strip.
Around the strip.
You should never go to a place that's named after an illicit activity. Like the strip.
Like, yeah.
Probably not a good place to be. You know what I mean?
No, traditionally you want to avoid places like that. You know, that's where trouble, you know, you can run into trouble down there. And, you know, this is the second time since he's been on camp. Just got reinstated.
Mm-hmm.
Had just got reinstated.
Also just turned 18. He faced police scrutiny 3 months ago.
Yeah.
Was suspended in March, reinstated earlier this month after being among 4 players accused of an incident in Stokely Hall.
It's very frustrating.
Very frustrating indeed. The report states Mr. Salter was stopped for a violation of light law, no taillights, and a tinted plate cover over the vehicle's registration. Mr. Salter subsequently admitted post-Miranda to having marijuana, approximately 4 grams of it, and telling the passenger to throw it out when officers stopped the vehicle. Not confident in his own arm.
Doesn't trust himself to make the big throw. Yeah, I mean, it's something to think about. I hope Heupel's paying attention, because that's a very crucial detail in the story.
Yes,
you know,
yeah.
Obviously, you know, he's had too much time, you know, away from the program. He's losing out on his development.
Yes. No, Salter. Apparently, he's not shown on the UT football player roster, but he did join summer workouts. This is talking about, not Salter, my apologies, about McNeil.
Gotcha.
He joined the program summer workouts on June 1st. UTPD reports.
Just got here.
Yeah.
Just got here. What an introduction you have made for yourself.
McNeil states, or the UTPD report for McNeil states, on 19th June 2021, at approximately 300 hours, a traffic stop was performed on a vehicle. A bag of marijuana was observed on the ground in front of the vehicle, and McNeil admitted to throwing said bag from the vehicle in hopes of avoiding detection. McNeil was charged with simple possession and released from the scene. In March, these 4 players were also in that incident that happened in Stokely. I mean, I'd just like to say, like, if you subtract marijuana from this situation, which I'm not trying to excuse, like, you got to be smarter than this. You shouldn't be doing illegal activities as a guy who's trying to have a career in football. But, like, college kids are going to be college kids. There's much worse things, much worse drugs being done on college's campuses. Probably much worse drugs being done in one of the buildings that he was pulled over next to on the strip. Like, no one's going to try to convince you of that not happening. But at the same time, I mean, you just can't be – it's the one law at a time rule. Like, you cannot be breaking multiple laws. The light thing is stupid. That's going to get you pulled over. Like, that's just case number one. You're going to get pulled over. Then having weed in the car for something you know you're probably going to get pulled over for is just idiotic. I don't know how to –
like, you're already walking on eggshells. Yeah. Like, you're already trying to get back into the good graces and work your way back into the program and get everything back on track and – here's another mistake.
Exactly. Like, if this was the first incident, if we did not have this Stokely incident before he even turned 18 in March a long time ago, I would be sitting here saying, like, hey, just it's not that big of a deal. 4 grams of marijuana and a couple of traffic violations, move on. But because this is a second time thing and this is your second time being in trouble, it looks even worse.
Yeah, it's one of those things where after the first time, you know, you need to do it, like, kind of clean up a little bit. Not clean, just stay out of trouble.
Exactly.
Come on.
Exactly. More overtime next. We'll be right back. Hour two of overtime. Getting started live from Fanrun Radio Studios, soon to be the Flood Run Studios, as it is coming down like cats and dogs out there. Hope everyone is staying safe out there. I apologize for the microwave beeping, just do some housekeeping. No idea what that is.
Yeah, we'll get no idea.
It. No technical difficulties, just hanging out here with you guys in the studio, the Fanrun Studios. That is Will Stevens, Tucker Holt. Hour two, like I said, rolling right along or getting started and trying to.
Sounded like a movie out there for a minute.
Yeah.
It sounded like a war zone.
It did. It's
wild.
Eerie. Eerie is the perfect word for it.
Yeah, there was that calm before the storm outside just a moment ago.
Mm-hmm. So. It felt like we were in the eye of the hurricane almost.
A little bit. Not a fan.
I want to get into the NBA.
Let's talk about it. It's been a pretty eventful weekend.
I want to start with a little segment I like to call Patriots or Traitor.
Okay.
Tokyo. It's hosting the Olympics, obviously. The 2020 Olympics are coming up. I just want to go through. I'm going to say a name. I just want you to tell me if they're a patriot or if they're a traitor.
Okay.
We'll start with... let's go with Bam Adebayo. Patriot or traitor?
Ooh, okay. I gotcha.
Is he playing for the Olympic team?
Right,
or is he opting out of not playing for the Olympic team?
Patriot.
Bam Adebayo is a Patriot. He has committed to join the 12-man Team USA roster for the
Summer
Olympics.
Him on the team. Okay, that's good.
What about, let's go with Draymond Green, Golden State star Draymond Green. Is he a Patriot or is he a traitor?
Was Draymond on the, when was the last Olympics? Was that 2016?
Yeah, 2016.
2016? Was he on that team in 2016? I can't remember.
You're asking the wrong human being.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm talking about just this Olympics.
Thing. I know. I'm just trying to remember if he's got a gold medal before. I'm going to go traitor.
He is a Patriot.
Oh, he's a Patriot? Cool. Okay.
Committed to playing. There are eight committed, a couple of guys
I like
who have
that.
Declined as well. But yes, he is committed. What about Utah guard Donovan Mitchell? Patriot or traitor?
Patriot for sure. I can see.
He is a traitor.
He's a traitor?
He has declined the invitation to Team USA.
He's a young guy. I figured he would want to go.
He will use the time to recover and rehab from his right ankle injury. So that one makes sense right there.
Okay.
What about Golden State point guard Stephen Curry? Is he a patriot or a traitor?
I just don't expect Curry to beat. Now I'm going to go traitor.
He is a traitor. Fake American.
He's still injured and, you know, whatnot. He's older now. And we got a big season coming up next year.
He cited off-season commitments was what
off-season. He might be shooting another putt-putt show.
Maybe. Perhaps.
You know?
Perhaps.
He's a or might be playing in some golf tournaments.
Could be.
I mean, he's a busy guy. Who knows?
What about LeBron James?
I'm going to go with no.
Yeah, I got no clue. I just wanted to see if you would call LeBron a traitor or a patriot.
I'm going to go traitor.
Either one of those is very funny.
I'm going to go with traitor. I don't think he is. The only big name I've seen is KD, right?
Yeah, I believe he's playing. Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, Adebayo, Harden, Bradley Beal.
Harden's playing? Okay.
Jason Tatum, Devin Booker, and Portland guard Damian Lillard have been the eight commitments confirmed.
I think that'll
ESPN.
Be enough.
Yeah,
I think you could run
good.
Out there with those eight.
Especially because Jokic will not be playing for Serbia.
Right.
And as well as Ben Simmons.
Not playing in
the Tokyo Olympics for Australia.
Oh.
Will spend his offseason working on skill development.
Yeah, work on shooting free throws, you bum.
Is that the Aussies just saying, like, hey,
dude,
I think we're good?
Yeah.
Like, we got Matthew Dellavedova.
He's playing in the
That's
NBA, and he's like, he calls, like, up, like, the Australian prime minister, and he's like, all right, who's the coach this year? Just, you know, have them get in touch with me. And they're like, sure, mate. Sure, man. We'll give you a call. Our people will call your people.
I'd rather field a team of kangaroos.
A couple of joeys. Dingoes.
You need joeys. You don't need Jims. And Ben Simmons is a big Jim, not a joey.
Exactly.
But yeah, he is committed to not playing.
He's going
to
work on his shot. He's going to work on basketball.
Apparently that is what they are wanting to do. Is Doc Rivers had some comments talking about what they want to do during the offseason, and one of them was work with Ben Simmons. Obviously,
yeah, some
speculation about what's going to happen with Ben Simmons, what's going to happen with the process. Is obviously Atlanta blew up the process this past weekend, this past series in general, but Sunday, yesterday, last night, they truly – that was yesterday, correct? My time is all kind of run together.
I believe
that was last
so.
Night.
I think so.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I want to say
Nets lost on Saturday because I had to watch the Nets lose and then watch Vanderbilt win in walk-off fashion, and that was the worst night.
Yeah, that's tough. It's not a good – wasn't a great weekend for those who aren't Atlanta Hawks fans.
No, not at all. Not at all.
My Reds, they're losing. So.
Called it. I believe without going –
You called it win. Are you still talking about the Castellanos thing?
Yeah.
Okay, all those months ago, back in, what was that, April?
I called it, though. I literally
whatever,
said
it. Whatever, whatever. But now we've battled back to being over 500, so that's over. Like, we've already, we weathered the storm.
Is it?
Yes.
I don't think it is.
It will, yeah. That's exactly how it goes.
Fair enough. But I believe, without going into detail, with what we're going to be doing, I believe we know what the right work is and the right type of work and the right way to do it. Those were Rivers' comments when asked why this offseason will be different as far as Ben Simmons' shooting goes. I believe we know the right work is, or I believe we know what the right work is and the right type of work and the right way to do it. Why have we not done it yet?
Yeah, what are you doing?
Had only, I believe, 5 field goal attempts in the entire fourth quarter of that series. Like, every fourth quarter, I believe he only had 5 field goal attempts.
He passed up a dunk
because
it looked like he was afraid that if he gets fouled, he's going to have to go to the line. He's terrified to shoot free throws. He's got the yips. Something is wrong with him mentally, I think. I don't think he's confident in himself. He doesn't believe in his abilities.
Yeah, no, I agree.
He needs some sports therapy. That's a thing. Like, that's a legitimate thing. That I think some pitchers believe in.
Just some more sad Sixer stats as we go through, like, the usual sad Sixer stats. And I'll have my sad time, too. I'll talk about the loss. But with a minimum of 70 attempts, Ben Simmons cemented himself in the record books, shooting the lowest and worst postseason free throw percentage at 34.2% during the postseason.
That's pretty bad when there's guys like Shaquille O'Neal that played in the league. But even in the clutch, Shaq would hit his free throws, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, when it came time to, like, you got to have these free throws, Shaq would hit them.
Yes.
I mean, over his career, he wasn't an amazing free throw shooter, but he didn't lose you games on the line. Ben Simmons hasn't won you many games anywhere lately. And this is a very what-have-you-done-for-me-lately league, you know? It's real easy to forget the rookie of the year in your second year in the league.
Yeah.
And you know, all those amazing playoff runs you had with Philly. Not really any deep playoff runs, right?
No, this is, I believe, the
about deepest. As deep as they've went. Yeah,
trying to think. Was that Kawhi shot in the Eastern Conference Finals or to send them to?
It
the Eastern Conference
It was to send
Finals?
Them to the Eastern okay, Conference then,
yeah,
Finals.
This is just as equal as the deepest run they've gotten.
The Ben Simmons. I don't want to really call it an experiment, but you put a lot of eggs in that basket. A guy who can't shoot, a guy who can D up, and a guy who can finish at the rim. But he lost his ability to finish at the rim somewhere. And when he's
Has he? We don't even know because he won't.
He won't do it. Okay, like, yeah.
I think that's a fair point.
Maybe
he's
not lost the ability, but he's lost the confidence to do it.
For sure, for sure. A very interesting quote here. The full quote from Joel Embiid after the game. I mean, I'll be honest. I thought the turning point was when, I don't know how to say it, but I thought the turning point was when we just had an open shot and we made one free throw and missed the other and they came down and scored.
Is he talking about the Ben Simmons?
He's talking about the Ben Simmons passing out of the layup after he...
Yeah, beat. Have you seen the video footage of Embiid reacting live to that play?
I have not.
You see him, you know, you can see his body language, like he kind of tenses up. He sees him have that open look and his body just kind of deflates whenever you see him, and he throws his arms up, and he's like, what is going on? He just walks away, turns his back, and he looks disgusted.
The 76ers might have the worst body language out of any NBA team I've ever seen.
They don't look like they're having fun
ever. It was still a two-point ball game with a minute left, and I knew the game was over.
They looked
defeated.
Just
based off of the body language.
Yeah.
Gallinari with fantastic defense on that last possession to get the steal to force the dunk. Kevin Huerter with a fantastic game.
Insane.
Trae Young,
Red Velvet.
Trae Young could have not existed. Could not have existed. Just could completely fall off the face of the earth, be injured. The Hawks still win that game last night in terms of just pure stats-wise, pure numbers-wise. Trae Young could have not played a single minute, and the Hawks would have still won that game.
It's impressive.
It's crazy to think about. It's crazy to think about.
But, I mean, you know, if you take him out, that changes the spacing a lot. Oh. You know, you got to pay a lot of attention. But I see what you're saying. That, you know, it's kind of nuts, the efficiency that they're getting from guys other than Trae Young.
Because
the
production was Trae Young's game. Like, you were waiting for the Trae Young game to get the series started, and that's what happened with his first 18-assist, 30-something point game. And it kept going from there. You were waiting for another Trae Young game last night, and it ended up being the Red Velvet show.
Yeah. I mean, you got in a deep playoff run like this, you've got to have guys like that step up. You know, you have those playoff heroes. You know, guys who through the regular season – you know, on the team as a whole, you know, they're not the superstars, but they're heroes in their own right, like John Paxson for the Chicago Bulls or even Steve Kerr for that same team. Like, you have these guys who aren't superstars, but they feel their role, and when it's their time and they've got to make some plays, they make it happen. Like,
for sure.
That is what makes a championship-level
team. That's what Chris Middleton and Jrue Holiday did in the Nets game. Final couple of stats and housekeeping things real quick for the 76ers before we hit a break. I was wrong when I said Ben Simmons took around 5 shots the entire series throughout the fourth quarters. Only took 3 shots in the fourth quarter of the entire series. So I was wrong on that front. My apologies. Didn't want to give him too much credit. Only 3 shots taken the entire series in the fourth quarter. And finally, the final sad stat. We've been pooping a lot on Ben Simmons. Let's poop on Doc Rivers as well. Doc Rivers has now had 29 losses with a chance to clinch a playoff series.
Ooh.
The most losses by any head coach in NBA history with his 34.341 win percentage. It is the worst all-time among coaches with 20-plus games to clinch a series. Philadelphia's got to figure something out because the process did not work. Talk about the Nets game. I'll get a little sad here in a second, so don't go anywhere if you want to hear me upset and sad. Stay tuned. It'll be right next. Fandon Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, live from the Fandon Radio studios. Well, Stevens, Tucker Hole in here with you guys. Going up until 8 p.m. like always. Hour 2 rolling along. Vandy, NC State in the bottom of the first right now. Good game going on there as it's still scoreless. A little pitching battle through the first inning.
High-quality
right
baseball being played right now, honestly.
I love saying that. I love, like, the announcers. Like, obviously, pitchers are playing well. I'm not trying to, like, poop on the pitchers or anything like that. But
it's
like,
always a pitching battle.
During the Mississippi State-Texas game, it was, like, the first two innings. Like, all three batters, I think, struck out. It was, like, 6 straight strikeouts. But it was, like, the second inning, and the announcer was like, man, we one hell of a pitching battle we got on our hands. And it ended up being true, but it was just a very funny thought process of like, all right, the first inning's down, we have a pitching battle on our hands.
No run scored yet?
Exactly.
God, these pitchers are dealing.
It just made me laugh.
Yeah.
Speaking of things that did not make me laugh, the Nets are not going to the Eastern Conference Finals. They will be sent home as...
It's tough.
8 points were scored in overtime.
It's not good.
6 of them were by the Bucks.
Yeah, it's very tough how close you came from going to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Livid.
Inches. Literally. Maybe even not even more than one.
Like, I mean, just quite possibly the craziest story that came out.
Pretty tough.
I mean, get into the gameplay in general first of just
KD
like...
KD played great.
Credit KD. Like,
KD does what he does.
It, literally, that meme that came out of him bent over on the bench with the Popeyes worker that was bent over the bench, like, that was just insanely accurate. Like, dude was just dead.
Yeah, and he's still, you know, not fully conditioned. Like, he missed a whole year last year. It's his first season back on that ankle. It's amazing he's done what he's done.
Yes, for sure. I mean, getting down to just gameplay... Bucks shot 41% from three-point range, hit 15 of them.
That's good.
The first time they've caught fire from three-point range all series, as they were cold to begin the series. Started getting better and better, but never out of the 35. Like, they were never above 35%. They were always below 35%. Middleton finished with 23. He was 9 of 26, 2 of 7 from three-point range, but it was really the fourth quarter that him and Jrue Holiday took over. Giannis dominated the entire game, 40 points, 15 to 24, 2 of 6 from three-point range. Him and James Harden... made an equal number of three-pointers. James Harden doubled Giannis's attempts. Harden was 2 of 12 from three-point range. But, I mean, Giannis dominated the game. He played 50 minutes out of the, 55 or whatever it is, adding overtime into it. But played 50 minutes, had 40 points. But down the stretch, it was when Middleton and Jrue Holiday came out of nowhere. I believe Jrue Holiday was, 1 for 14 to start the game, and then caught fire in the fourth quarter, went 5 for 6 or something crazy like that. Ends with 13, 8 assists, 7 rebounds. It was just an all-around really impressive performance by
just
the Bucks.
Came together right at the right time at the end. And
they only had 17 turnovers compared to Brooklyn's 13. Rebounding-wise, it was pretty even. Brooklyn lost the rebounding edge on the offensive glass by 7, though. That was really where it came down. Like, it was 46 to 48 in terms of just overall rebounds. But when you get out-rebounded 18 to 11 on the offensive glass, you're going to struggle. And the thing that pisses me off the most, 14 of 21, 66.7%. That was Milwaukee's stat from the free throw line. Mm-hmm. They missed out on 7 points from the free throw line. I mean, you got to step up. If a team is missing 7 points from the free throw line, you got to step up and make them pay for that, especially in a game 7. Like in any other game, you need to make a team pay for that. You can't make those mistakes like that and miss your free throws and win a ball game. But especially in a game 7, you have to make a team pay like that.
You got to take advantage.
They did not.
No.
They did not.
It's tough. It's tough to have so much talent and, you know, injuries and just a lot of strangeness around the team all year. I mean, Harden showed up unconditioned. You know, we had those jokes to crack for a while.
Yeah.
He's slimmed down a little bit now.
Careful. TNT might be listening.
Right. Anyways, I think Harden is great. You know, chunky or not chunky. It's been a strange season.
I mean, his beard's always been plus size, so like we can.
Yeah, his
jokes.
Beard's always been A1, honestly. I don't know how you maintain a beard when he's got the money. He probably has a beard guy.
Probably.
But, I mean, you've always had these questions around this team all year. KD's been the one constant, and he's even been injured a couple times. Mm-hmm. So I'm not shocked that the Nets didn't go win a finals championship.
I didn't think,
you know?
The reason I didn't talk a ton of trash, run my mouth the whole entire playoffs until, and again, I waited to talk my trash until we had a 2-0 lead on the Bucks and thought season
was And that was the last fun you had all year.
Yeah, that was the last fun I had all year. Mm-hmm. But the reason I didn't run my mouth is because
you did run your mouth there, though.
Yes,
otherwise, you wouldn't have got to.
I need to get it in at least. But yeah. The reason I didn't run my mouth is because I didn't think this team had it enough to make it to the finals, nonetheless win the whole thing.
Right.
I just didn't think it was the year. I mean, it's a fake season anyways.
Fake season
doesn't
didn't
really
even
matter.
Yeah.
Like, you only had half the season with fans in attendance, and then
nobody's,
they switched on you.
Yeah, there was no
that's
rest
crazy.
Period between the seasons.
Yeah,
you know?
Like
Klay Thompson was hurt. Let's never. I mean, that's a wash.
No, I mean, you got to make the playoffs for that. But really frustrating. But next year, title's coming home. I say home like I'm from Brooklyn. Title's coming to Brooklyn next year. I promise you that. But the line KD said was my big ass foot stepped on the line.
He does have a big foot. If it was just a little bit smaller, they'd win that game.
I just seen the little screenshot. How close I was to ending their season off that shot, but it wasn't in God's plan.
Mm-hmm.
That was his reaction.
That's the way to look at it. It's tough, but I mean, he's KD. He'll be back regardless. I mean, how long is his contract with Brooklyn? Was it the one, or did he sign
Don't ask me.
A multi-year deal?
Did me look it up?
I mean, you could. I don't really care. I was just wondering, you know, does he miss Golden State? I mean, you know, you could really.
I don't think he missed Golden State after, like, the Steve Kerr, Kevin Durant relationship kind of got ruined once they had that issue with the post-game press conference where Steve Kerr was like, it was easier to coach during a 15-51 season than it was to coach Kevin Durant, which is a a hell of a statement. I don't know if I agree with it or not. I mean, like, this dude brings a backup date to date, so I assume he's pretty challenging to get along with, but no clue there. He signed a that's the Golden State Warriors contract for no reason.
Hey, it was for a lot of money though, you know that one.
Yeah.
He made a pretty decent penny.
I don't know why it pulled up. Here we go. He will be in contract through 2023. He'll be an unrestricted free agent at the age of 35 in 2023.
Okay. So, still got him for a couple more years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you can get to the finals with him, especially if you hold on to Kyrie Irving and he can fall in love with basketball a little bit more. I mean, that's your main issue really right now is, I mean, he's also injured. Like, I'm not, you know, I'm not saying that's why you lost this playoffs, but if you can get Kyrie to really buy back in, you know, for next season, him and KD together could be absolutely disgusting.
I would love to hold on to Blake Griffin, too. Blake Griffin down the stretch was pretty solid. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's nice to have a guy like him who can, you know, take your team to a higher level inside, you know, because KD, you don't want him to get broken in half.
No,
he doesn't need to play too aggressive.
No, I definitely think you need to go get a big, though. Like, Blake Griffin playing true center is not going to work. I don't think.
Yeah, just go get Jokic and just get your last Infinity Stone. Go ahead.
Exactly. That's fine. I would like that. No, I think Jokic is probably going to stay in Denver. I think the Nuggets are going to do solid next season with the return of Jamal Murray, dependent on what they do in free agency, if they can make a move and hold on to enough guys. Like, the return of Jamal Murray can really open a lot of doors to just give Jokic some other scoring threat. Like, Michael Porter Jr. isn't really going to be able to step up and give you insane amounts of points. Like, I just don't see that happening yet. So you do need a secondary offensive threat. But back to KD's shoes, there was a blog after the game. Royce Young of ESPN found a story from 2018. Chris Herring of 538 explored Kevin Durant's recurring problem of having his shoes fall off during games, and it was illuminating. So apparently...
Was he wearing shoes too big?
To achieve that featherweight feeling, this is a quote from the article, not a quote of Kevin Durant, but just a quote from the article. So to achieve that featherweight feeling, Durant wears a size 18 while on the court. One full size bigger than what he wears in casual settings.
Oh, no. Why? That's weird. I feel like it would be heavier than it should be.
See, his quote is, these are like slippers, man. I just try to be as efficient as I can when I create what I want out there. I don't want something that's too bulky, so sometimes they may come off, but the good thing is I can just slip them right back on and keep playing.
Huh.
Don't understand that, but he was wearing...
I feel like he would just roll your ankle constantly.
He's wearing a shoe that is quite literally...
Too big.
One size too big.
If he wore the right shoes, they might win that game.
They would. Like, if you look, I don't know shoe size metrics, but I assume it's about an inch. He was about an inch from the 3-point line.
Yeah.
Like, even if he's wearing a 17 and a half, not even the full 17. Like, if he just goes down
off
half a size.
That's tough. That's a wild what if. There's another alternate universe out there where someone told him that.
I do think this is going to be one of the greater sports what ifs. I don't think it's going to be up there with, like, the Bo Jacksons and stuff like that. But I do think...
What if
Kevin Durant wore a size smaller shoe?
What if I told you wearing the wrong shoes cost Brooklyn a chance at greatness?
Oh, man. So much pain.
That's tough. I've been there. It was a rough weekend for us all. This is one of those moments where everybody kind of has to come together, look at each other, silently, nod. Mm-hmm. You know, you just kind of, I feel you.
But
it's okay.
Skip Bayless did make me feel a little bit better.
What did he say?
Kevin Durant has... He DM'd me this.
He told
you? Yeah, he
really?
Told me not.
Wow.
He just tweeted this out 3 hours ago.
Ah, okay.
Kevin Durant has proven once and for all he's the best player on the planet.
Well, yeah.
But the blind witnesses are still clinging to the past and defending LeBron James.
LeBron James. What a... Ooh. I mean, sure. I don't think really... I don't know. If we're talking career, you could still argue LeBron. But, like, right now, it's not really much of an argument. I don't think even the most devout LeBron fans would even... Like, it's not really comparable. Like, LeBron just doesn't have the tank that he used to anymore.
And it didn't
He's getting older.
Kevin Durant had to play all minutes, and it didn't seem like he had the tank to do that.
No, but he's, you know, he should be fine by next season. LeBron's, like, the epitome of that. Is it Allen Jackson? I'm not as good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was. It's Allen Jackson.
Are you sure?
Pretty sure it's Allen Jackson.
Are you sure?
Like 99% sure it's Alan Jackson.
I thought that was Fred Durst.
Fred Durst. Yeah. Is that a Backstreet Boy?
Limp Bizkit.
Okay. Yeah, he wrote that. Did he have a song saying that?
I believe so.
No chance. That's an Alan Jackson song.
Maybe not. I mean, I'm trying to think. I don't know.
Maybe it's Alan Jackson.
Are you sure?
100%. Why are you...
I agree on the front that it was a white guy who wrote it.
Like, you're attacking me on this.
Like, maybe... That just sounds like a rap lyric. Like, I feel like the Beastie Boys did that.
No, it's a country song.
Okay, fine. Are you sure it wasn't George Strait?
It's not Alan Jackson. Alan Jackson.
Who is it?
It was Toby Keith.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I knew it wasn't Alan Jackson.
You didn't know anything.
No, I did.
You didn't know anything.
I just wanted to see if I could get you to change your mind.
You
but then
shut
by
up.
Going far, you wanted to settle in on your...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm smarter than you. I just broke your brain, man.
You know what?
More overtime next. We'll be right back.
I hate this.
Oh, no, it was an Eminem song. That's what it was.
No, it wasn't.
Time, Fan and Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Hour 2, rolling right along live from the Fan and Radio studios. Will Stevens, Tucker Holt, in here with you guys going up until 8 p.m. Like always, final segment before birthdays. Starting right now. Getting something pulled up. I don't know if you got a chance to see this story. A weird story. Like, I don't know how many people.
I like when it's a surprise.
Yeah, I don't know how many people. It's a hard story. It's not like a sad story, but it's a.
Okay.
It's a story. If we're gonna make some jokes about it, gotta go tiptoes.
Gotta be careful.
Just
okay.
Go ahead,
I like a challenge.
Get both toes down. Make sure you don't juggle the ball.
Wear a smaller size shoe.
Transgender BMX rider for Team USA, reportedly vowed to burn U.S. flag at medal podium.
Ooh, at what event? The Olympics?
I think.
X Games?
Yes, the Olympics. Transgender.
The Olympics?
Apparently BMX is in the Olympics.
Yeah, that's also strange. But I wouldn't burn the American flag at the Olympics.
Transgender woman
like
once vowed to compete.
Once vowed.
In the Olympics so she could, quote, burn a U.S. flag on the podium.
Gotcha. This doesn't sound like a concrete plan, I wouldn't think. This sounds like something, you know, kind of. Talking crap, as one might say, you know, maybe cracking jokes. I don't know.
Perhaps.
Maybe not. I would like to think someone wouldn't say,
just,
you know,
just busting Uncle Sam's
make the,
balls.
Yeah, like, you know, yeah, just getting at the man, you know, ha ha, funny, you know. But I would hope no one would actually go, you know, follow through with such a plan.
Yeah.
It's a hell of a motivator. It sounds like something Michael Jordan would want to do.
Yes.
You know, I mean, maybe not burn the American flag, but just to think of something like in that similar vein. Mm-hmm. To motivate them?
Well, it's definitely going to be a challenge to even podium as they qualify, or she qualified as a alternate for Team USA's BMX freestyle.
So someone's
got to
get hurt.
Yeah. So we got to do
it. Now,
it's Tonya Harding and burning the U.S. flag.
So now they're rooting for injury or could cause an injury. I mean, you've got to, you know, it's a high goal to be reaching for.
Chelsea Wolf, a 28-year-old Florida native, was beaming with pride in a photo shared with her 7,700 Instagram followers on June
12th.
Solid
number.
That's not a bad little flex.
It's not
right
bad,
there.
Yeah.
On June 12th, I mean, that's 6,700 more than I have on Instagram.
That's more than that. More than mine.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not a big...
Most of mine are just high schoolers who... Or not high schoolers, but people I went to high school with.
Is that on Instagram?
Still follow me. Yeah.
Shoo.
Yeah.
I don't think I've posted on Instagram in maybe...
I think I only have one post.
Maybe like since I was in college.
Yeah, that's fair. I think I have one post, and it's just a picture of Mac Miller saying, love is good, spread love.
Nice. I think my last picture I posted had a Kanye caption. I thought it was very cool.
But I posted with her Instagram followers on June 12th announcing she was named an alternate on the team.
That's pretty neat, though.
Quote, I'm positively a different person than when I set off on this journey, and I'm so grateful for every experience along the way, and I'm so excited and honored to keep working so I'm ready to shred in Tokyo in case I'm needed, Wolf wrote alongside a photo of herself smiling through a helmet.
So, what was she saying? She's grown, as in she's not going to burn the flag if she wins? Right? Is that what that is? That how you take that?
I guess, perhaps.
You know, I would like for our athletes not to burn the flag.
She made her intentions clear last year in a since-deleted Facebook post.
Just a year ago?
About why she wanted to qualify. Fox News, guess who, reported on Monday.
Oh, yeah, they jump on stuff like that pretty quick, those people over there.
My goal,
I don't even think that's a controversial thing of me to say.
Quote, I mean, no.
They're quick on that.
I have no problem insulting MSNBC, CNN, or Fox
News.
Yeah, I'll
get
because they're all, like, have all had reporters who will use, in a court of law, no one is
dumb enough
to believe what I'm saying. Every
they
single
say
one
that.
Of those stations has had a reporter use that defense. So
they
if
do.
You believe
yep.
anything anybody says on those stations, Fox, CNN, MSNBC, you're an idiot. But that's beside the point.
Yep.
This is the Facebook post, I believe. My goal is to win the Olympics so I can burn a U.S. flag on the podium, Wolf reportedly wrote on March 25th, 2020, alongside an online article about how trans girls should be treated as biological males in school sports. This is what they focus on during a pandemic. Hurting trans children was the end of the post. Asked for comment on the since removed Facebook post, Wolf told Fox News it doesn't indicate. Hold on.
Okay.
Asked for comment
you
on
got
the
it.
Since removed post.
Right.
Wolf told Fox News it doesn't indicate
uh-huh.
she doesn't care about the United States, insisting that anyone who thinks so is sorely mistaken, according to the report.
Okay.
Quote, one of the reasons I work so hard to represent the United States in international competition is to show the world that this is the country that hold on. This is a very poorly, I guess maybe I just can't read and I just insult the writing, but it's very poorly worded.
Okay.
One of the reasons.
Just go nice and slow, rhythmic. Boom. Off to a great start. Oh God. Oh no. Okay. Will's dead. Everybody, Will's dead.
One of the reasons why I work so hard to represent the United States. I just can't read it because I'm getting so mad with rage that someone would want to burn the United States flag.
Like, it's anger. I can
I'm
see.
Seething.
You are see. There's the veins popping out all over your body.
Right,
you're on. Your hair's standing up. You're like a cat. It's honestly a little bit scary.
My tail is frizzled.
Yeah, you're. You know, you love your country. You can't help it. You know, we were talking a little Toby Keith before. You know, you're courtesy of the red, white, and blue.
Exactly.
You're gonna put a boot somewhere where the sun doesn't shine
exactly.
just because, you know, you got to protect the flag.
100%.
That's you. Everybody knows Alpha Patriot Will. I mean,
yeah, we played the game Patriot or Traitor. There was no reason to even question what side I was on.
Patriot. Day one.
Why do you think I water carry for Tom Brady so much?
I mean, you do that a lot. And it's a little, you know, I would say that's actually one of your downfalls in, as not being American. It's American to hate Tom Brady.
But it's just, it stems from him being a patriot.
He
for
is
so
a patriot.
Long
he was.
Mind,
sure.
He is. When
right.
you say patriot, I think Tom Brady.
That's fair.
Sorry about it.
That's fair.
Especially since, I mean, he praised the great 45. So, like, you kind of have to just associate him as a patriot.
Yeah, he did.
One of the reasons I work so hard to represent the United States in international competition is to show the world that this country has morals and values, that it's not all the bad things that we're known for, Wolf told Fox News. I think that's a very funny statement. Wolf told Fox News to dog wild dog breeds. Just that's just comedy. Just that's just life. That's just life being comedy right there. That's just irony.
A little wild.
I take a stand against fascism because I care about this country and I'm not going to let it fall into the hands of fascists after so many people have fought and sacrificed to prevent fascism from taking hold abroad. Wolf, who has said she wants to be proud of the United States, insisted she is sure as hell isn't going to take or let fascism take hold here. Appreciate Chelsea Wolf for being on the
the
front lines
that,
of
at
not
least
letting fascism take over the
on the
States.
Right side of the fascism.
I mean, like,
fight.
Regardless of your beliefs, regardless if you think you should light a flag on fire, like, respect where respect is due. She's out here punching fascists. Like,
yeah, that's what you want.
If you're taking on fascism,
if I had to
by
choose,
yourself,
it's pretty. You know, it's admirable. You know,
I mean, fascism is one of those things that one transgender BMX rider can take on by themselves.
You can take it on, yeah. You know, it's weaker now than it ever was
exactly.
because of people like.
Like Chelsea Wolf.
Like Chelsea Wolf.
She's a fantastic BMX rider during the day, fighting fascism
fighting
at night.
Fighting fascism at night, yeah. She is the next comic book superhero.
Wolf Woman? We can workshop the name.
Yeah.
It's hard with the pronouns, but definitely throw
the bike
the
is
woman.
Definitely involved
yes.
in the fighting
yeah.
of crime.
She turns
the fascists.
You know? Like, have you ever seen the Progressive commercial with the, it's like Centaurs, but not Senators, not to get political or anything.
Centaurs? Yeah, with the horsemen?
Yes, but the Progressive commercial has them as motorcycles. I just picture, like, as soon as nightfall hits, like, as soon as the sun goes down, she turns into part human, part BMX.
I like to think that.
It just
rolls
down.
Or, you know, how they do, like, the 180s with, like, the how they spin the bike? You know, you can just knock out like 10 people in a circle. You know, fight like that. For some reason, the fascists, you know, stand in circles. That could be a part of the fight.
Most fascists do. That's normally the geometric shape they stand in. Rarely triangles, rarely squares.
Rarely, you know.
Mostly
they can't
circles.
Do 3D figures because, you know, it's mostly standing on flat ground.
Most of them normally are hanging out at BMX parks, so like it's easy to find
them
and hunt them down.
You can find some all sorts of fun places.
There's fascists
everywhere
you look.
Yeah, you could have a lot
need.
Of you could have a lot of have a, you know, a dynamic comic book. You know, lots of different scenery. You know, around the whole world, really. You know, this thing has legs.
Wolf's final quote here: qualifying to represent the United States national team for the sport that I love is something I consider to be one of my life's greatest achievements. Through so many obstacles, I just can't read, man.
That's okay.
Through so many obstacles in my way, on top of the standard challenges that every athlete will face when working for this dream I preserved, and the difficulty of this task is why I'm so proud to accomplish it. So shout out. I mean, first off, just shout out. Congrats on the qualifying for the Olympics.
Pretty cool.
Chelsea Wolf.
Yeah.
Right there. I
always wanted to do BMX growing up.
Yeah, it looks so cool.
It looks pretty
sick. Until you fall the first time and you're like,
yeah.
I'm out on it.
Yeah, yeah. I was a bit of a wuss, a baby growing up. You know, if I fell down, I wouldn't like cry and whine about it. I just usually didn't do that thing again.
See, I'm just so much of an alpha.
Except for football. I was fine with football being painful.
See, I'm not even fine with football because I'm so much of an alpha, I refuse to play a sport that requires a helmet. Like, if you,
right, yeah,
if
you want to bash your brains
helmet,
in.
I'm not going to play your wuss down
if
sport.
If they'd let you bat without a batting helmet, I mean, you'd be batting 340
exactly.
Easily.
If I could just wear my ball cap, I'd be the best.
You do have, like,
the
widest, or not the widest, but, like, the tallest, you know, strike zone. You don't want to be very tall.
It's true. I go Jeff Bagwell.
You
got to
cover a lot of ground.
It's true. This is true. This is true.
Aaron Judge does it, though.
Yeah, that's true.
It's possible.
That's true, but he wears a helmet, so
he
loser.
Does.
I refuse any sport that wears a helmet, but birthday's next. Don't go anywhere. Woo! Happy birthday. It's time for the birthday game. It's time for the birthday game. Whoa. As always, people are born, and then we talk about them once they get famous.
But never before.
No sooner.
Idiots.
No sooner. They're not famous. Screw
peasants.
You.
Why if you're not on the website.
Why are you even born if you're not a famous birthday?
What are you
birthday?
Doing? I'm not on the website.
Imagine having a birthday and it's not being famous.
We need to put ourselves on the birthday website.
Yeah, we got to figure that out. Yeah.
I'm filling out my own bio.
I don't know how you
had
put yourself on
catches.
Here, but I know you can put yourself on here. I just don't know how.
I would put just very funny stats from when I was in high school.
Granger County's best.
Yeah, I mean, had like five catches.
What would you put yourself under? Like, because you have... web star, singers, actors, actress, models, rappers, pets, soccer players, politicians,
right?
Authors, like what category would you throw yourself under?
Entertainer.
I mean, in terms of job, because like obviously
entertainer,
you would be
really,
in the 5'5" under category. Like that's no shock there, but like it would have to be like what
they have a short category. Is that what you're saying? Okay, that's good.
That was a decent one.
Yeah, me and DeVito holding it down. Just me and that guy. I don't know. Probably for this whole thing we're doing here, you know? I'm not actually going to put myself on that website. I know people who have.
Yeah.
They have TikTok accounts with like 5,000 followers.
Yeah, I know a couple of. Yeah. I went to Farragut. If you're attractive and have money, you're getting famous on TikTok. So I know a couple of people who have birthdays on the famous birthday page. June 21st, 1983, Santa Rosa, California. 38 years old today. Movie actor. Not great names today, so going to have to not scrape the bottom of the barrel because you know this name, but like, you don't know this dude for being famous in terms of in things, but you remember this guy's name from a very, very weird story. He's a former childhood actor known for his early work in the 90s roles on The Mighty Ducks and North. In 2012, he played Magnus, the skinny, in The Skinny, and in 2015, he began playing Jamal Lyon on Fox series Empire. That's not what he's best known for.
Jesse Smollett?
Jesse Smollett.
Boom. I couldn't remember if it was Jesse or Jussie.
It's Jussie.
Jussie Smollett.
Mm-hmm. June 21st, 1979, Virginia. Virginia, Minnesota. That makes me laugh. There's a city in Minnesota Virginia.
Yeah, that threw me off a little bit too, but okay. All right, 42, I like it.
42 years old today. MN is Minnesota, correct?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, you're right.
Virginia, Minnesota.
Could be Maine.
Could be Maine. Think it's Maine.
No, Maine's ME. Minnesota's Minnesota. MN.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Could be
ME, though. I'll be honest with you. I don't remember.
Known for being on the other side of the political spectrum than Jesse Smollett, portrays the lead actor. He's praising the Big 45 like we were talking about earlier, last segment.
Mel Gibson.
Close. Portrays, no, not even close. I apologize. I don't want to put this dude in that company. I actually like this guy.
Okay. All right.
He's one of those guys who just has different political beliefs, but you can still like. Like, there's some guys who just make their political beliefs their personality. This guy's not that. Movie actor, portrays the lead character Star-Lord in Guardians of the Galaxy. Also Owen Grady in the 2015
Batista?
Film. Jurassic
Who
World.
Is Star-Lord? Is that Chris Evans? Chris?
Parks and Rec.
Is that
Andy,
not Chris Evans?
Andy Dwyer.
No, it's not Chris Evans. Who is that guy's name? It's not Chris Evans?
No, Chris Evans is Captain America. This dude is
crap.
The Star-Lord.
Okay. He's not a Hemsworth either,
it
is he?
It rhymes with crap. Kind of.
Oh, my God. I mean, I don't know exactly who it is.
And
I know his name, too.
If you had a portable fraternity, you would call it a...
Oh, a mobile?
Combine the words. A portable fraternity.
Porternity?
That would be one. Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt. Oh, my God. I know Chris Pratt. I got the Chris part right.
Yeah. That's
I know I was barking up the right tree. Stupid Chris Evans has to be in the same Avengers movies. There's another Hemsworth. Is there a Chris Hemsworth, too?
Yeah, there's
God,
Chris
too many Chris's in that damn movie. I hate this.
Not a lot of time left. I'm trying to find.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that football player.
You
got to
give me at least
enough.
You got to give me a softball here.
Yeah, I'm trying to find.
I couldn't get Chris Evans.
There was one who's just a horrible human being under the football player, and that's the only one we can do. And
I can guess a few names.
We're going to do basketball player. You should know this one.
Okay.
June 21st, 1980, Los Angeles, California, 41 years old today. Athletic forward who is a longtime member of the New Jersey Nets. After his time in New Jersey, went on to play for such teams as your Golden State Warriors. He also played for the San Antonio Spurs, the Dallas Mavericks, and then began playing for the Cleveland Cavaliers in 2015. He played basketball at Arizona, known for having bad tattoos, and is also on ESPN now.
Bad tattoos?
He won a title. Not obvious bad tattoos, but if you listen to Pardon My Take, you know about this guy's bad tattoos.
Hey, where did he win a title?
Cleveland. He was on the team that beat the Warriors. Trying to think of how to hint at this.
Mozgov? No.
Think of the guy with the last name Petty who was really good at driving things, and then think of the guy with the first name Thomas.
Richard Jefferson.
It is Richard Jefferson.
Whenever you said New Jersey Nets, that's the first person I saw in that uniform, but I just didn't. He played for the Warriors?
Yeah, apparently.
That was before my NBA.
Very short stint.
My NBA fandom. I don't.
That was before you were a bandwagon. No one knows the Richard Jefferson years.
No, I know a little bit about the Richard Jefferson years, just not.
Not when he played.
Not when he was in Golden State.
No overtime tomorrow. Tune into the drive and go Vols.
Go Vols, baby.
We'll see you Wednesday.
Let's get this dub. We love you guys.
Yeah, kind of.